When a building catches fire, the situation is scary enough. The stakes are even higher on a boat, where there's nowhere to go and no one to fight the fire but the people on board. The 23-person crew of a Kodiak-based catcher processor found themselves in that situation last week while finishing a long fishing trip on the Bering Sea. KUCB's Alexandra Gutierrez has more.
On Thursday evening, the crew of the Alaskan Leader was in high spirits. After fishing for 42 days straight, they had filled their holds with cod, and they were on their way back to port for one final delivery before returning home to their families. After finishing up a chicken dinner, some of the 23 men on board headed straight to bed. Others, like 18-year-old deckhand Gabriel Lilja, stayed up talking and watching TV.
Everybody was in great mood. There was a message on the board downstairs that said, "Great trip. Thanks for the hard work." Everybody's ready to go. Watching movies, having fun, cracking jokes. It was good stuff, and then it wasn't.
At 9:40 p.m., an alarm sounded.
We opened up the engine room door, and smoke was pouring out. We could see flames.
It's unclear what caused the fire. Captain Dennis Black thinks that a pinhole leak in the fuel line might have started it. What was clear, though, is that it spread quickly, tearing through the boat's wiring. Within 5 minutes, the 150-foot vessel lost power, making it that much harder for deckhands like Lilja to respond.
No lights, no power, nothing. People were running into each other.
Whatever light was generated by the flames was blocked out by smoke. The heat was bad too, says deckhand Jason Klein.
It got so hot that the light bulbs melted.
You need me.
The glass themselves melted down. So everything, the paint, everything was burning.
The crew used every extinguisher they had to contain the fire. While this was happening, the captain put out a mayday call and tried to contact other boats near Unimak Pass. At 10 o'clock, they threw in carbon dioxide canisters to choke out the fire. They also started a bucket brigade to keep things under control. At 11, the fire was still going. Once it got close to midnight, Lilja says that the crew was told to get on deck and prepare to get in life rafts.
People were out there in socks and sweatpants. And there was laundry all done. We had to dump it all out and give sweatshirts and sweatpants and fresh socks to everybody, find shoes and boots. And people thought we were going in life rafts. I thought we were going in life rafts for a while.
Just before the men put on their immersion suits, a trio of Good Samaritan vessels connected with the Alaskan Leader. The Frontier Explorer, the Frontier Spirit, and the Eastern Wind shone their lights on the deck, giving the crew some visibility. Lilja says that it was also around this time that the fire was finally put out. They'd now been fighting it in pitch black for over 2 hours.
2 hours of hell.
While the immediate danger had passed, the Alaskan Leader was still without power and without steering. At this time, the boat was about 170 nautical miles from Dutch Harbor, the nearest port. For the next 2 hours, the vessel's chief engineer worked in the dark to get some electricity going. Around 2 a.m., he had some good news for Captain Dennis Black.
I don't know how the heck he did it, but all of a sudden, a generator came online and lights came on, and slowly kept flipping breakers, knowing that there was a lot of fried wires on board, and you know, we didn't know what we were in for.
They got the port main engine working, and they got the refrigeration system back on to keep the million pounds of cod on board frozen. They still couldn't use most of their navigation equipment, but they were able to steer the vessel manually using a compass and the ship's wheel.
It's funny because most people look at that wheel and they say, "Is this just for looks?" And to be honest with you, for the most part it is, but we found out why they're there.
From that point on, the rescue was textbook. The Coast Guard cutter Sherman connected with the Alaskan Leader around 3:30 a.m. and then stayed with the vessel until they reached two tugboats. Those boats then towed the vessel the rest of the way to the port of Dutch Harbor, and at 5 p.m. Friday, the vessel was finally safe at the dock. None of the 23 men on board had suffered any injuries, and even the fish was still in good shape. Now, it's up to the vessel owners to decide whether to take the Alaskan Leader down to Seattle for repairs or attempt getting the work done in Alaska, says Captain Dennis Black. The engine room was fried, and when the boat came in, it still smelled of burned electronics.
We got a mess. We got a mess that's going to take a lot of time to sort out, but the bottom line is, we made it to town. We're all safe. No one got hurt.
As for the crew, they're still a little shaken. Most of them got out this weekend on a charter flight and are back home with their families. A couple of them, like Jason Klein, plan on staying there.
You know, I worked in the construction industry for years, and it took a serious downturn, and so I haven't been able to find work, and this just happened to fall in my lap, and I figured, what the hell, I might as well come up here and see what it's about, and I'm good. Turns out I'm not a fisherman.
But if the boat's ready in time for the next season, most of them will be coming back to fish. Even if their spouses, kids, and in Gabriel Lilja's case, his dad, think that might not be the best idea.
He's going to think it's crazy. He's going to think I'm crazy getting back on the boat.
Coast Guard Sector Anchorage is currently conducting an investigation into the cause of the fire. In Unalaska, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.